And we know that we live in a world that is constantly changing. And since the early days of creation, when man was created, life has been changing and evolving. And we were created by a master creator, and he has created us to be, by nature, creators. Now, when you are creating, there is going to be constant change. And you could say that one of the only constants in life is change. Now, the state of change helps keep us moving, you know, from the moment that we are born to the moment that we die. Now, this has been the state since the very beginning. And while we are changing personally, the world at large is changing on a grand scale. So whether we look at the world we live in or our personal circumstances, you know, change is not a relaxing process. It's oftentimes frustrating, frightening. And when people and institutions change, you know, things that we rely on and they're no longer there, sometimes it's frightening. But there is something that we can hang our hats on, and that is change. But change in and of itself can be viewed as positive or negative. It really depends on how we view it. You know, when I searched on the internet for the word change, a lot of results popped up. And one of the top consistent words that kind of connected with change was that word stress. So how prepared are we to deal with change, to deal with stress? Do we deal with it well, or are we stressed out by it? So one of the articles that I was looking at online had some good tips, I thought, for dealing with stress. And so I kind of took it and switched it around and added scriptures to it and kind of made it my own. So this is kind of some thoughts from my perspective as how we can deal with this stress of change. You know, when our thoughts are negatively based and full of fear, then we're not taking charge of change. So how we deal with situations is a choice. You know, once we realize that we can't control other people's actions, but we can control how we react, it becomes powerful. You know, one of the quotes that's been floating around in my head recently is, "Be the change that you wish to see in the world." You know, not that I alone am going to change the world, but I can make a difference in how I think and how I treat others. I also found prayer that someone had written. It was on the internet. It's called the Serenity Prayer. It goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And then there's some times that we have to realize that we may not be able to change a situation. You know, in that case, we need to accept it for what it is and find a way to cope with it. Now, Paul talked about this concept of change, and he made a point of telling us that if we would search ourselves, if we would deal with change ourselves, then it would be for the better. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, and we will read to verse 32. Paul says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Of course, this is in reference to Passover. But it also has to do with our ongoing life. Verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Paul also stated in Hebrews 10 and verse 31 that it's a scary thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty. So if we would take change, if we would examine change, examine ourselves, then it's, you know, better for us. If we do this on our own accord, then maybe we won't have to go through some trials. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. We see that Paul continues on with this theme of examining. He says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that you are not disqualified." You know, after we do our due diligence, after we are proving that we are changing, we can know that Christ is living in and through us. Now, to be a Christian means having Christ living in and through us. If we do these things, we can deal with change much more easy. David was constantly going through change in his life. And his prayers were intense, and they were filled with longing and heartfelt cries. If you turn to Psalms 22, Psalms 22 and verse 1. This was a psalm written by David, but it also kind of talks about Christ's crucifixion. Psalms 22, verse 1. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusts in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Verse 9, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help me. We see here that, you know, at times David felt that these things were about to overtake him. They were trying to end his life. But he never stopped believing or trusting in God, even when he had some questions about what he was going through. Continue in verse 22 of Psalms 22. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction or the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. Point two, kind of still on the theme of thoughts and actions. And when we exchange our wrong attitudes for attitudes of gratitude, we can have an entirely new outlook about change. Now, negative attitudes can have effects on our physical, our mental, and even our spiritual well-being. And when we take the attitude of looking around for things to be thankful for, you know, sometimes even the smallest things can have the biggest impact. When we focus on being thankful for things such as life, health, strength and friends, family, nature, pop in what you want to be thankful for. You know, it changes our outlook from a woe is me attitude to an attitude of how can we help and how can we serve others. You know, as well as giving God the glory and the thanks that he deserves. When we do this, you know, our lives will start to change. Psalms 28, verse 7. We'll read a couple psalms here of thankfulness that David gave and the strength that he got from being thankful. Psalms 28 and verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, is greatly thankful, and with song I will praise him. Jump to Psalm 50 and verse 14. Psalms 50 and verse 14. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. And then Psalm 100 and verse 1. Psalm 100 and verse 1, we'll read to verse 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We did that this morning or afternoon. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So thankfulness is one of those things that we can continually offer up to God. There's no amount or set limit that, you know, we can say, okay, we've reached our amount of thankfulness for today. We're not going to be thankful for anything else. No. Attitudes of thankfulness they bring on change. We become truly different people. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul says, be anxious for what? For life, for food, for health. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anxiousness is a change that needs to be made mentally. Being anxious for things doesn't help us. Thankfulness will. 1 Thessalonians 5. In verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. It is the will of God for us to be thankful. If you ever wonder what the will of God is, well, it's spelled out for us right here. And whether we get thrown into fire, get thrown into the ocean, whatever trials we go through, God lets us go through this to strengthen us, to mold us, and to test our resolve. And he will never leave us or forsake us unless we do it first. Now, I've seen this in my own life time after time, and so I can promise you that what God is saying here is true. My family has never gone without food. We've always had shelter. There has always been enough for us. So my third point is to relax. Well, relax, that's kind of strange, since we are supposed to be constantly busy and on the go. But sometimes when we are busy all the time, we get lost in life. Now, I've known people who say they can't relax. There's just too much to do. And we get caught up in this mindset of go, go, go. And when this happens, there's definitely something wrong. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we should be lazy, and there's plenty of scriptures that talk about, the one that comes to mind is the ant going to, or go to the ant, you sluggard, to consider her ways. And we are to have goals and be working towards those goals and to be accomplishing. But there are times that we do need to stop to not take ourselves so seriously and learn to relax and enjoy the blessings that God gives us. And especially when we can share those types of moments with others. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3 and starting in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In verse 22-24, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You know, we are to work heartily, as it says here. But we should also enjoy and be joyful for what God gives us. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. We'll look at a couple scriptures here in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So we can see that, yes, it is important to work, to do it heartily. If you will turn to chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. And we will begin in verse 10 and read to verse 13. I have seen the God-given task with which the Son of Man were to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labors. It is the gift of God. It is a gift of God for us to enjoy the things that he gives us. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9 and 10. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Is a cheerful thing for us to continue on in doing good and putting evil away from ourselves and enjoying what God has given us. And point four, probably the most important point, was not to lose focus on the big picture. What is our big picture? You know, our actions and our moments of change and stress bringing us closer to the most important goal of our lives. So when we go through change, we should ask, how important is this? Will it matter in the long run? Now, many years ago, there was an incident in the Bible that I'm sure was quite a challenge. And the people of that time were all together, and they were creating and changing at such a rapid pace that God decided to put an end to it. Genesis 11, beginning of verse 1. Genesis 11 and verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. It's probably German. Just kidding. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower, whose top is in the heavens. Let's make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are of one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. In verse 7, come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased from building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So you can imagine this great group of people. They all spoke the same language. They were all working towards this one goal of building this giant tower, which they wanted to reach up into the heavens and who knows what. But we can see that they obviously weren't doing it to glorify God. God also realized that whatever these people put their mind to, that they would eventually accomplish it. So he changed everybody's language. And, I mean, if you want to talk about change, here it is in a big way. If you can't communicate with somebody, it's hard to talk to them, to, you know, be on the same path with them, to be working towards that same goal. So God forced this massive change on the people at that time. You know, it delayed things. And his plan was still in place. But we know that God will not delay his return forever. You know, the end goal for us is to be glorifying God while seeking the coming kingdom of God and doing our part to hasten that day. So, if we know what our big picture is, if we know what our goal is, what are we doing to change and to grow? Matthew 28, verse 18. Christ is speaking, and he says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching to them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Kind of helps to bring our goal in focus. So we have seen that change in and of itself can be stressful if we let it. Or we can take charge and deal with change in a positive and a constructive manner. You know, and as much as I have stressed that change is a part of our lives, there can be a constant in our lives. You know, without some semblance of rock steadiness, our lives would become a serious mess. If you turn to Matthew 11, verse 28, since here in the book of Matthew. We are taking a look at how we can have a constant in our lives, something to lean upon. Matthew 11 and verse 28, Christ says, "Come to me, all you who labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And compared to sin and, you know, the death that is associated with sin, that law, the law of God is light. It's easier than continually sinning. But it takes some time to learn this. So leaning on Christ for our justification, for forgiveness and righteousness, makes God's way easier to follow and to keep. If you will turn to James 1 and verse 16. James 1 and verse 16. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures or his creation. We see then that there is no changing with God. He is set in his ways. He cannot sin. And he has called us because he wants us to be that first fruit. You know, but in order to become God beings, we have to show that we want to become God beings more than anything else. We have to be willing to hang on to the truth and not change it. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 tells us that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so there is no room for changing the truth. We know that with Christ living in us, we can and will live by the truth. Romans 8 and verse 38. Romans 8 and verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we can take stock in the fact that the words that we read in the Bible are true and faithful, and that they can be tested in our lives. If you will, turn to Malachi 3 and verse 6 for our second to last scripture. Malachi 3 and verse 6 says, For I am the Lord, I do not change. There is our constant. We can know that these words in the Bible are faithful and true when we take stock in the fact that God is who he is, and that he does not change. So we can be the first fruits. We can be the ones of whom a book of remembrance is being written about. In verse 16 of Malachi 3, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. And so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name.